Amen. So, if you're just now joining us on this live feed, welcome to Flower Mound First Baptist. If you haven't done so, if you'd share so more people can watch with us, we don't ask you to share because we want to share the name Flower Mound First Baptist. We ask you to share because we want to share the name of Jesus. If you haven't done so, snap a picture of where you're worshiping, post it online with the hashtag FMTogether. Be sure and connect with us through completing that connect card where you're at. Let us know how many are worshiping alongside with you. And we've got some more reminders that we'll share at the end. But right now, I want you to grab a Bible or grab your smart device and find Psalm 23. Now, some of you have taken part in the Psalm 23 challenge, so I'm thinking that some of you may not even need to have your Bible open to Psalm 23, but go ahead, because I'm going to challenge you to mark some things, and I want you to see some things. You know, I was talking to someone very near and very dear to me, she's my best friend, and she was telling me this week that during one of those moments, during the night, when she woke up, and like many of us do during this season, had some anxiousness. And this is what the Spirit of God did. During that moment when anxiousness kind of began to fill Lisa's heart, at the same time, the Holy Spirit brought to her mind, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And during that moment, she began to remember the Lord is her shepherd and began to recount those verses. And God comforted her heart and quieted her back to sleep. That's the power of the word. She called me and told me about this, and she said, "That's what you were aiming to do, wasn't it?" And I said, "That's exactly right, because I believe in the power of the word, and I believe that God, at moments of our weakness, can supply us the strength that we need through his word." Now, if you found our online program, you should also find a link so that you can take notes. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can just click events if you are in the Flower Mound area, and you can find Flower Mound First Baptist as a live event so that you can take notes. You see the notes there, and then you can add your own notes. So now we're going to look at Psalm 23, and today we're going to focus on the latter three verses. But I want us to read or perhaps recite all of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they protect me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And it's so exciting because in this room, if you could hear it, others were reciting that with me, just like I hope it was at your home. Now let's pray, just like we do every week, and ask God, right now, wherever you're at, wherever you're sitting in front of the screen, ask God to remove any distractions, that nothing would pop up on Facebook, nothing would happen in the house to take your attention, and that you'd focus in on the Word right now. Let's pray for those that are watching this. Maybe some have tuned in because a friend shared this. Let's pray for them that God would speak so loudly, so sweetly, that they couldn't miss it and they'd be drawn to his word today. And now would you pray for me? Would you pray that God would give me strength to my voice? And I would preach boldly, without, unashamedly. I'd preach the gospel of Jesus Christ through Psalm 23. Oh, gentle shepherd, your sheep are listening. Would you speak to our hearts today? Would you quiet us with your love? Would you walk with us through this valley? In your name we pray. God's people said, amen. So as we looked at Psalm 23, what we said last week as we looked at the first three verses, we learned how we could walk through with the shepherd. And remember, as we looked in those first three verses, I shared with you what the shepherd is providing. He's providing rest. He makes us to lie down in green pastures because the shepherd has worked hard to produce those green pastures. He gives us refreshment. He leads us beside still waters. One thing I didn't share, sheep can be very picky about the water that they drink from, but then at other times they can drink polluted water. So the good shepherd provides good, clean water from the sheep to drink from. And that's what Jesus refreshes our soul every day if we will come to him. And then he provides us with restoration. Because we've been cast down by our circumstances, but the greatest, we've been cast down by our sin, by our selfish pride. So it's the Lord who straightens us up so that we can walk again, but he provides us his righteousness. It's a righteousness that we can't earn on our own. We need Jesus to provide that righteousness for us. So here today, I want us to look in and zero in on verses 4 through 6. Now, I want you to notice something. As you look at the psalm, you notice that the psalm kind of takes place over a landscape. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip says that Psalm 23 covers a year in the life of a shepherd and his sheep. And so they traverse various places. Well, I think you can also see the very beginning, the first three verses, we're in the sheepfold and the green pastures. But then notice where we are in verse 4. We're in a valley, in the valley of the shadow of death. But notice where the psalm ends. It ends in the house of the Lord. So here's our big idea. Between where you are and God's better place, there may lie some difficult places, but God is there. Did you catch that? Between where you are, whether you're in the sheepfold, whether you're in the valley, whether you're in the presence of enemies, between where you are right now, quarantined, and God's better place, there may lie some difficult places, but God is there. God was with the sheep in the green pastures. God is with the psalmist in the valley. God is with the sheep in the presence of enemies, and God is with us surely in his house. Doesn't matter where we are, God is there. That's what we want to see today as we look at Psalm 23. Because did you notice? I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want you to pay very careful attention to the words. So we saw the shepherd's care. Now we see the king's reign. You say, Don, why do you call him a king? Well, look at the very end, verse 6, in the house of the Lord. And we know through our scripture reading, as we've been reading through Deuteronomy, we saw just this week that he said he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the God of gods. So now what should we do as we look at Psalm 23? What should be the response of our heart? Do not turn from these difficult places. You know, there's very, Jim and Basham and I talked about it on Wednesday. There's the fight or flight reaction that's normal to us as human beings created in the image of God. But here's what, we don't need to turn from these difficult places. What we need to do today is to adjust our focus. Instead of focusing on the trouble, instead of focusing on the valley, instead of focusing on the difficulty. Now, look at the difficult places that David is talking about. And very first, in verse 4, he's in Death Valley. Now, he's not talking about a football stadium in South Carolina or Baton Rouge, Louisiana. No, he's talking about a literal valley, a valley in the shadow of death. And then notice, difficult place of discipline. The rod and the staff of the shepherd sometimes used to discipline the sheep. Then notice, he's in the table in the presence of his enemies in the place of dilemma. Do I give in to my enemies so that they're not opposed to me anymore? Even the place of danger itself, enemies that want to take my life. But then notice where he ends. In delight. He ends in the house of the Lord. Even though he may face disease so that the shepherd anoints his head with oil, between where you are and God's better place, there may lie some difficult places, but God is there and God is leading. Warren Wiersbe said, he'll never lead you where he cannot care for you. Let's Psalm 23, he'll never lead us where he cannot care for us. So this is what I know. During this season in 2020, so many people wondering where God is in this crisis. Where is God? God is leading his church. God is leading his people. Because notice, we haven't been consumed by it. We're worshiping. We're gathering here today. We can look throughout the Bible. You can look in the book of Exodus. Some were watching the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston last night and probably reminded of our year-long study that we went through Exodus last year. Exodus. God brought the children of Israel out from Egypt, delivered them, brought them into the wilderness. In the wilderness, the children of Israel began to doubt and wonder if God could provide them water, if God could provide them bread, and they were tempted to turn back to Egypt. But in the wilderness, God provided them. So even though he brought them out of Egypt, out of that civilization, into the wilderness, he will never bring you, he will never lead you where he cannot care for you. And God brought them into the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. Think about Elijah. I was listening on the Dwell Bible app this week and listening to 1 Kings chapter 18. And in a famine, God's servant was staying in the house of a kind woman, a widow woman who had a son, and her son died. And the widow woman came to Elijah and said, "It's your fault." Elijah took the boy into his room, laid him before God, and Elijah looked up at heaven and said, "God, it's your fault." But then God provided healing to that boy and raised him up. A picture of what Jesus would do. How Jesus would heal the young girl that is sick, Jairus' daughter. He will never lead us where he cannot care for us. What about Daniel in the lion's den? Here, Daniel was thrown in a lion's den for praying, for being faithful, for seeking God's face. And in that, he miraculously closed the mouths of lions. Now, that doesn't mean that that's how God will work every time, but here's how God will work. He will never lead you where he cannot care for you. I've seen that in my own life. I could sit with you right now and tell you the places that God has taken me, that God has taken our family, and God has provided it for us all along the way. Between where you are and God's better place, there may lie difficult places, but God is there. So we need to shift our focus. So here I want to give you four quick things of how we need to shift our focus. Number one, focus instead on the king's presence. Focus instead on the king's presence. Look at verse 4. Well, actually, look back at verse 3. Notice how the psalmist speaks. "The Lord is my shepherd." Verse 2, "He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters." Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Did you notice? Now look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you. He becomes you. The third person becomes second person. Now, what's going on with that? I'm not just trying to give you a grammar lesson. Notice the psalmist is recognizing that the shepherd is with him. It changes everything. And so now his focus in verses 4 through 6 are not just on what the shepherd does, but the presence of the shepherd. Focus on the king's presence with us. God created us for a relationship with him. God created us to walk with us, for us to walk with him, but man rejects it. Remember in the garden how Adam and Eve fell because they did the thing that God told them not to do? And what was their immediate reaction? Their immediate reaction when they heard God walking, where before they would walk with God, now they ran and hid from God. So that's what we do in our fallen, sinful condition. But God wants to walk with us. And here in Psalm 23, the psalmist recognizes that God is there. One of my former pastors, when he was just a young father, young husband, had two small children. One was a toddler, one was an infant. His wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. They were living away from their family in South Carolina, and they were in Virginia. And his wife had to go in for a radical double mastectomy. And here he was, a pastor of a church, and it was early one morning. He said the hospital was still dark. He had just kissed his wife goodbye and watched her go into surgery, and he went into a waiting room all alone. Here this pastor had sat beside countless church members before, but he was sitting in the waiting room alone. He said, I felt sorry for myself. So in that moment, I opened my Bible. We had been reading through the book of Ezekiel, and we had come to the last chapter. I was sitting alone, feeling sorry for myself in that waiting room, and I opened and I turned to the last page of Ezekiel, and there in that word, I read, and my name shall be called Yahweh Shammah, the Lord who is there. He said, in that moment, I knew where God was, and God was with me in that waiting room. I wasn't alone. My wife wasn't alone in the operating room. God was there. Focus instead on the king's presence. Secondly, focus instead on the king's protection. Notice, here the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Right now, it's a fearful thing to walk into the grocery store. I went on Friday, and then lo and behold, I had to go again yesterday, and I really had to debate about it, and it kind of stirred some anxiety within me. So now Lisa has created a mask for me out of my bandana, and I'm able to put it on my head and go into a store. I feel like I'm going in like the masked man. It just doesn't feel right. But still, it's a fearful thing. I'm gloving up before I go into a grocery store. I have to think twice. Do I really need to go into this grocery store? Can we wait? I don't know about you, but I never feared going into Walmart or Aldi before. But now it's a fearful thing. And here the psalmist says, here I am in a valley. Notice what he calls this valley. He calls it the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have time to unpack that, but that's an interesting thing. He doesn't call it Death Valley. He calls it the shadow of death. But notice, he's not staying there. He's in the valley, but he's not staying there. Even though I walk through the valley. That word through, that preposition is one of my favorite words in Psalm 23. Because between where you are and God's better place may lie some difficult places, but you're not staying in those difficult places. The king is leading you through. We'll walk through the fire. We'll walk through the flood, and it will not overwhelm us. It will not overtake us. We're not staying there. And so the psalmist has made a decision. I will not fear. I will not fear. Philip Keller says that in the springtime, the shepherd will often begin to take his sheep up onto the mountains so that they will be in the mountaintops during the summertime. It's cooler on the mountaintops. There's lush green grass. There's plentiful water. And they will often take their sheep up. But to take their sheep up into the mountaintops, they first must go through the valley. So the psalmist recognizes for us to go to the mountaintop, we must at times go through some lonesome valley. He says, I will fear no evil. Why can he say that? Because whenever God, let me say it this way, whenever people are big and God is not, we fear everything. But he has replaced, he has exchanged, he's replaced the fear of God for all else. And so whenever God is big, people are small. And so when we fear God instead, we don't have to fear anything else. And so the psalmist can say, I will fear no evil. We focus instead on the king's presence and the king's protection. Notice he says, for your rod and your staff. Now, today, I don't want to differentiate between those. The rod was something, it was a knobbed, a bald end of a stick. Philip Keller says that young shepherds will go and they'll find a young sapling and they'll find them and they'll dig them up and they'll shape them and form them so that they can use this as a defensive weapon, but also to get the sheep's attention. And then, of course, you know, the shepherd's staff, that crooked instrument that sometimes the shepherd will use to rescue and draw up his sheep. But both of these pictures are pictures of the shepherd's correction and the shepherd's protection. And so that's what we need to recognize today. The sheep is looking and he says, your rod and your staff are proof that you're there with me and that you're going to protect me from danger and you're going to deliver me and rescue me from my foolish mistakes. So focus instead on the king's presence and the king's protection. But now third, we want to focus instead on the king's provision. On the king's provision. Look at what he says in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He mentions a table. He mentions anointing. He mentions an overflowing cup. Hear me, church. Write this down. Put this in your notes. There's blessing even in the bad times. There's blessing even in the bad times. Yeah, we need to take a look that God is leading us to a better place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But right now, even in those difficult places, God is there and there's blessing. You can't get through times like these without help from God. You wouldn't be worshiping with us today. You wouldn't be opening your Bible if God had not done some unseen things in your life. I know that God has protected me because a few months or at the beginning of March, when all of this was beginning to hit the United States, I was in an airport, one of the busiest in the United States. And the whole time I was sitting there without mask, without gloves, was what am I bringing home to Dallas? But God, in an unseen way, was protecting and has been protecting us. Look at that word in verse 5, before. If you haven't circled through in verse 4 and circled before in verse 5, you ought to take note of it. Here, we can't say precisely, but here's the point. Look at it. If it's an adverb, it's an adverb of time. You prepare a table before my enemies get there. Before I'm surrounded by my enemies, he's ready. He's waiting because he went ahead. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, he said, don't let your hearts be discouraged. Don't give in to fear. if I go, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Here, the king is a host that's welcoming us into his home. Here, he's the friend, the traveler that's joined us in the journey in the shadow of Death's Valley. And now he's welcoming us into his home at his table, and he's prepared and got everything waiting for us. If it's a preposition, it's a preposition of location. You think about it. He's laid out a banquet right here before us. It's right here. We don't have to go and find it. He's right here. You know, having toilet paper, who would have ever thought having toilet paper would have been a sign of wealth? Who would have ever thought that if I have a pantry stacked with Charmin, that meant something? But why do you have that? Why am I going to be able to enjoy one of my favorite meals today, a pot of pinto beans? Why am I going to be able to enjoy a pone of cornbread? Because God has provided again. He's laid out a table. So when you go to that lunch table today, I want you to remember he prepares a table before you. And notice the psalmist is not focused on the enemies. He focused on the table. Psalmist has to be a Baptist. He's focused on the food before him, not the enemies before him. But the blessings that the shepherd, that the king provides, are not only material. They're super abundant blessings of peace, of comfort, of grace during this season. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. And remember what he mentions? Clothing, food, and shelter. Well, today, like John, I'm not wearing my flannel sleep pants or fuzzy slippers. I may next week, now that he's mentioned it. We have clothing. I have a shelter over my head. I have a shelter over my head through the rain that we had over the weekend. And I've had food on my table. Why? Because the king has provided for me richly, abundantly. He has provided for us in numerous unseen ways. We're still here. Now notice, he said he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You think about those enemies that we face. Yeah, right now it feels like an enemy is the coronavirus, COVID-19. Feels like the enemies are those people at the store that get a little too close to us. I was thinking yesterday, I went to Tom Thumb yesterday also, and I was going down the aisle with my buggy, and this young woman in front of me turned around and looked at me, and I thought she was looking at me at the mask. I got home last night, and I began to think, she wasn't looking at me because of my mask. She was looking at me thinking, boy, you're too close. And it took me a minute to realize and to think that I was still 6 feet away, but I think she thought I was a little too close for her comfort. I wasn't trying to be your enemy, but sometimes it feels like people at stores are our enemies. But here, I want to remind you what our three greatest enemies. What are our three greatest enemies that we face in life? Sin, self, and Satan. Notice who I didn't mention. I didn't mention the people in your home. I didn't mention your husband. I didn't mention your wife. I didn't mention your son. I didn't mention your daughter. I didn't mention your family members, your neighbors. Our greatest enemies are sin, because it tempts us away from God. Ourself, because it tempts us away from God. And Satan, because he wants to discourage us. That is our greatest enemies. And God says, I prepared a table before you. I anoint your head with oil. He provides us with healing that we need. I don't know about you, but I'm battling allergies right now. That's why I have a raspy voice. Don't worry. I don't think I have the coronavirus, or I wouldn't be here. I have this every year. I can set a calendar by it. But God provides us anointing. Philip Keller said that if shepherds don't anoint their sheep during summertime, they will literally drive themselves crazy. God daily anoints us by his Spirit through the Word. Now, I don't want to get caught up in to what anointing means in the New Testament, but I know that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to be being filled with the Spirit. He daily refreshes us so that we can face those frustrations. But notice he says also, he says this cup that's overflowing. The word for full, for plenty in the New Testament is the word plerao. My Greek professor at Hardin-Simmons, George Knight, used to say, imagine you had a cup of water, and if you put one more drop in that cup, it would overflow. Well, I thought of that picture this week as I was thinking about this overflowing cup. That here, the psalmist says, my cup is overflowing. He's not just giving me a little bit, but he's pouring out this richest of blessings in my life. Don't miss that during this time of quarantine. God has, the King has richly provided for us day by day by day. Now, I had these friends in Virginia, Curtis and Janice. And when we first got to Grundy, they welcomed us. Our first Thanksgiving in Grundy was spent in their home. And then on Sunday afternoons after I would preach, Lisa and I would drive to the top of a mountain. We called it a mountain. It was more like a hill to other people. But we'd drive to the top, and we would leave Virginia. We'd cross into wild and wonderful West Virginia. And there at the top of Bradshaw Mountain was the home of Margie Justice. And oh, they'd welcome us in, and we would sit at their table. And Curtis, her son-in-law, would always look at Margie and say to Margie, oh, I'll give the pastor, give him a Benjamin portion. Don't just give him a small piece of cornbread, give him a Benjamin portion. Don't just give Lisa a small bit of macaroni and cheese, but give her a Benjamin portion. And our plates would be overflowing with these wonderful riches that Margie had provided. And I thought about that picture, that's how God provides for us. He gives us the Benjamin portion. He gives us the richest, the fat of the meat. He gives us all the many wonderful blessings. Oh, focus instead on the King's provision. And last, focus on the King's promises. Here David says, he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now notice, he's not saying so much about the shepherd or the king or the host. He's really looking at life from his perspective. Notice what he says. He says, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. We often think about, as disciples, we're people that follow in the steps of Jesus. But if you turned and looked behind you right now, you'd see God's sheepdogs of goodness and mercy are right there on your heels. He's got you covered before, and he's got you covered behind. This week, Lisa sent me a picture of Duke working on his schoolwork in our dining room, and she pointed the camera down, and she said, look down at his feet. There at Duke's feet was our border collie, Cowboy. There will be times in the night that Cowboy will get up and will become restless. It's because he's looking for Duke. Ever since Duke was a baby, Cowboy would stay very close to him. Sometimes he'd get in the way if he thought we were trying to do anything to harm Duke. The psalmist says that's what goodness and mercy. Did you hear what the president, what the commander-in-chief sent to New York and sent to Los Angeles just this week? They arrived there just this week. Pulling into New York Harbor was a Mercy-class naval vessel. USS Mercy went to one of those harbors, and USS Comfort went to the other. Just as Mercy and Comfort were pulling in to the harbors of New York City and in California, God has his goodness and his mercy pulling into the harbors of our life, following us every day when we wake up, every night when we go to sleep. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To dwell in God's house requires a change of direction. I'm not going to live life on my own terms, but I'm going to remain in God's presence. Those decisions are throughout the psalm. First decision, I shall not want. What is he not wanting about? The Lord alone is God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's made a decision. The Lord alone is God. What's his next decision? I will fear no evil. I will not fear. Why? Because God is bigger than anything I face. God is bigger than the evil that threatens my life. I will dwell. Notice it's the positive. The other two were negative. I shall not want. I will not fear. But now, in this final verse, he says, I will dwell. I will remain faithful to the faithful one. Jesus has led us all the way. As I wrapped up last week, I said that the shepherd became a sheep to make us righteous. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. The Father made him who knew no sin to become sin on our account so that we could be made righteous, so that we could be declared not guilty. Do you know you see a picture of Jesus throughout this psalm? Throughout this, he is the fulfillment of Psalm 23. He entered not the shadow of death, but he entered the valley of death. He sat at the table with his enemies. Judas was there, the one that would betray him with a kiss. Peter is there, the one that would deny him three times. Thomas was there that doubted him. All the disciples that would run away. He sat at a table in the presence of enemies. And with his resurrection, with his ascension, he is with God forever. Jesus has led us all the way. So here I want you to get this. The psalmist says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says in John 14, that where I am, you may be with me always. Always. Our future is secure. COVID-19 cannot take that from us. With Christ, we climb higher ground. The shepherd is leading us to our place if we'll follow him. So I have another closing challenge for you this week. Every day to recount the faithfulness of God. Either in the morning or at night. Just list five things if you can, how you've seen God's faithfulness in your family's life, in your life. So that as we look at Psalm 23, we can see and focus on God more clearly. I was in the hospital around the time that it really started getting serious. I walked to the hospital entrance and they questioned me. But I was still able at that time to go and visit with a patient. And I went and visited with this person who may be watching right now. And as I was talking to her, I remembered a poem. It's a poem that some of us have hanging on a plaque or framed in our homes. It was written by Margaret Fishback Powers. She said, I had a dream that I was walking across the beach, and that beach was my life. And I noticed along the beach as I walked, there was two sets of footprints. One belonged to me, and one belonged to the Lord, who promised never to leave me, never to forsake me. But she noticed that after she had seen the last scene of her life, she looked back over her life, and she noticed many times along the path, at the lowest, at the saddest points of her life, there was only one set of footprints. And so she looked to the Lord and asked, I don't understand. You promised never to leave me. You promised never to forsake me. You promised that if I followed you, you would always be there. Why in those times when I needed you the most, why did you leave me alone? Why was there only one set of footprints? You know, I think that's how a lot of us feel, isn't it? When things are sad, when things are the lowest, we assume the absence of God and not the presence of God. But in the poem, you know how it ends. The Lord looks at this child, looks at this dear daughter and said, "My child, at the saddest points, at the lowest points, at the darkest points, I love you and I will never leave you. I will never, ever, during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." How many times has the shepherd carried us and we haven't even thought about it? We haven't even taken note of it. And he'll carry us through COVID-19. Between where we are and God's better place, there may lie some difficult places, but God is surely there. And his goodness and his mercy will follow us all the days of our life. So now, as John comes, let me ask you a question. Is he your shepherd? We're going to sing one of my favorite songs of response. And this is how I want to challenge you to respond. Just as you are, to come just as you are to him today and to respond to him by faith. Is he your shepherd? For some of you that are watching this, that you're still tuned in, or maybe you've found it on another day in the week, God's invitation to you is simple. Not everyone who reads this psalm can say it's true about their life. Not everyone who reads this can say the Lord is my shepherd, but he can be today. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." You see, we've rejected the shepherd who made us. God made us in his image. But all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've wandered from God's care. We've wandered from God's love. So God sent his one and only son. The shepherd became a sheep to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to seek and save you and me. He's calling you right now. He's calling you. That's why you're watching this. He's calling you by name. The one who knows you best loves you most. He knows everything about your life. He knows all your shame, all your guilt, all your regret. He knows every mistake you've ever made, but he loves you the most, and he wants to rescue you. So we must hear his voice, and we must follow him. Then we can rejoice even in the bad circumstances. So would you make this your prayer today? Lord Jesus, just as I am, I come. Just as I am, I receive you into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to reach out to us. I want you to send an email to us, info@fmfb.church, or you can send a message to this page right now. We want to send you some information to help you begin this journey. Whenever you're watching this, I want you to respond, and I want you to make him your shepherd today, right where you are. Just as I am, I come. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, and then John is going to sing and lead us in singing. Let's pray. Jesus, there are those that are watching this today. They've been convicted. That right now, they heard your voice today telling them, "You haven't been following me, and I don't know you, but I want to." Pray that wherever they are, that they would humbled themselves, that perhaps they'd get down on their knees and they would look up to heaven and trust you to rescue them, to save them, to deliver them. I pray that the words of this song would move their hearts and they would do the very thing that we're asking, we're saying. In Jesus' name, the one who is our shepherd, we pray and we believe. Amen.